Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified on a wonderful, beautiful Saturday morning here in Portland, Oregon. And, of course, we are the one show, one financial show in Portland that is brought to you live every Saturday morning, 8 to 9, at least most Saturday mornings, 8 to 9, live. And that's so it's for you. The listener can pick up the phone, call in, and get your financial questions, your tax questions, and your legal questions answered. And this morning in studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Morning, Kevin.
Hello.
And, you know, happy Father's Day to your father.
To my father, that's
and,
right.
You're I'm, not a I'm, father yet, but
yes,
someday.
Hopefully.
And, and I am, and we want to wish happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
That's right. We sure do. And boy, oh boy, if you're celebrating this weekend here on the Pacific Northwest, I think it's just going to be a wonderful weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I know we're planning on celebrating our Father's Day today, and you mentioned that you were too as
well.
That's
right. That's right.
And I just want to again say happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And, you know, when it's all said and done, there's really nothing more important than family. And so we do want to wish all the fathers out there. And speaking about that, we're going to have a fun show today because we've had some listeners emailing us from time to time questions that we try to answer on the air. And today we got kind of a case study that we're going to kind of look into. And hopefully it'll bring up some questions for the listeners out there to call in. And we want you to feel free to call in if you have a question, whether it pertains to this or not, if it pertains to anything about taxes or about investing. Now, Carl Jepsen, I think, has started celebrating early his Father's Day because he's not here this morning, so I think he's probably recuperating from celebrating. What do you think?
I'm either that or he's just gearing up for a big day. So
well,
yeah,
that could be too.
Yeah,
that could be too.
Exactly.
And hey, we got a caller on the line, and it's kind of amazing. But hey, caller, are you there? Well.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Actually, I am not over-celebrating. Father's Day has a real nice touch to it this year for me. My daughter, Karen, is obtaining her master's in business administration from Merrillhurst College. And we're going to the commencement services this morning. And so that's why I'm not there, because I've got to go to the
the services.
And anyway, it's a little too early for that.
Well, Carl, that just goes to show that that you are a really good dad because you've got your priorities right.
Well, I think so most of the time, and I'm really proud of my daughter, and I think she's really worked very hard. She's done it all on her own, and actually, she's done it online. And I wondered about that, but during the course of her studies, I was able to observe some of the things that she was doing. And anybody who thinks that's easy is, wrong. It's an extremely challenging course of study, and it was an accelerated program. She got her master's in about 18 months, which is pretty darn good. So,
wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, tell her congratulations from us, and we hope you guys enjoy the weekend and do get some great celebration in.
You bet. Well, we're gonna do a little bit of that too. I'm gonna hang around on the show here for just a little bit, and then I do have to leave fairly soon. So, I know that we have some good things to talk about and some questions. There was this email that I saw that had some interesting things to talk about.
Well, that's exactly correct, and we're gonna go right to that. And first of all, I do want to give the numbers. If you want to call in and join in on the talk, our number is 503 513-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. And all callers are welcome. We do have a few lines open. Yeah, and, you know, Carl, Kevin and I was just talking about that, and we're so happy that you did call in because we had a longtime listener who sent us a very nice email to the show and said that he was a regular listener to our show, and because of circumstances, he's not able to call into the show, but he did write with some very good questions. And so, you know, Carl, you're going to have to be on your toes because Kevin and I both did some research on this.
Oh man! Well, I'll do my best. So
and so we both went and got our legal caps on, and checked to see if one of the states here was if it was a community property state or a common law state or so forth and so on. So, but I know you would be right on top of that as well.
Well, maybe.
Carl would just know that off the top of his head.
Oh,
so,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I have all the 50 states memorized.
That's right. That's
well,
right.
The good news is that I did find out in my research that only 10 states are community property states.
Right. There are very few of them anymore.
Very few of them. So. And anyway, the listener wrote in, and I'm just going to kind of read some of the highlights. His mother, who lives in Oregon, owns farmland in South Dakota. She inherited the farmland in 1984 when her husband passed away, and she's thinking about selling the farmland in 2013. Now, they wrote some good questions, but I think you'll agree, and I know Kevin and I was discussing this before we went on the air. There's a lot of questions here that aren't answered that we need to ask, particularly with the explosion of oil in South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana. Not sure if this particular person who owns this land has the mineral rights, and if there's any royalties coming in from oil. That would be the first thing I would be asking from a financial aspect, because as far as judging the value of the property, the land is either going to be farmland, residential, commercial, or possibly oil. So There's a lot of unanswered question here, but one of the questions he asked, assuming she does not do a 1031 exchange, is it correct that she'll be required to pay tax on the capital gains of selling the property? And since we got a CPA here, Kevin?
That's right. Well, the easy answer is obviously yes, and that is the correct answer. You always do pay capital gain on the increase in value from the date of passing until when she received the property until the time that she's selling it. But how much is a very interesting question, and there's a number of questions that we need to ask. The first would be, when the husband passed in 1984, you know, what was the value of the farmland at that time? And we also need to find out whether it was held 50-50 between the taxpayer and her husband, or whether the husband owned the land completely and it was truly separate property, because when he passed away, there would be a step up in basis either on the full amount of the property if he owned it all, or only on half of the property if he only owned half, because it's not a community property state. So that's a really key question and really makes a huge difference on the amount of gain that we're going to be calculating. And of course, she held it for over a year, so she's going to get the favorable long-term capital gain rates capped at 15% federal, but depending on the income bracket, you know, there could be some other implications there.
You know, Kevin, the other thought I had was if they were operating this as a farm, there might be some, you know, depreciation that took place, too, that might factor into the calculation there on all that stuff. So,
you know, that's a very good point too. Is the, another huge question is, was there an estate in inheritance tax return or a federal inheritance tax return filed when the husband passed away? And if so, I mean, we're going down now. Okay, was the farm given special use valuation? Was it given alternate valuation? So you're absolutely right. There's a huge amount of questions that we go down to find out, hey, what was the established value?
You know, Carl, you and I have several clients that have property in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana. Some of them are leasing out the land for farming. and you know, for raising cattle or farming, and some get mineral rights and oil rights and get revenue off that land.
You know, there are lots of people that I've, not lots, but a number of people in the last couple of years that I've come across who have mineral rights in those states. And they're a tricky thing because, you know, they're a little bit, they might be a little bit speculative because you never know, you know, but there's been a lot of activity. And of course, we don't know in this case whether this particular land has that kind of mineral rights that are, you know, saleable or leasable to you know, to the oil company type folks, but if it is, it changes the value dramatically.
Yeah, based on his letter and the fact that he calls it farmland in South Dakota, I'm going to assume that he's probably not getting any oil or mineral rights, and that it probably is used as farmland. And so the question there would be: is have they been leasing it out? And again, it goes back to that original cost basis. Now, since you're an estate planning attorney, if this were a case you were having to settle the estate on, how would you go about finding out the value of that property back in 84?
Well, I think the first thing I would do would be to find out if we could. Like Oregon has on their deeds, has a statement of true consideration. So the first place I'd start would be to get a copy of the original deed and see if it had such a thing. If not, I would try to find the documents that gave rise to the sale, so it told us what the purchase price was. But if you can't do that, and a lot of times you can't, then you'd have to get a very good appraiser, a land appraiser who is knowledgeable in farmland in South Dakota, who could go back through the historical records and put together essentially an appraisal of value as of 1984. That would be kind of tough, but they do that.
And that is difficult to find, you know, somebody who's willing to do that. A lot of times I've had appraisers just say, I can't do that, you know. But based on this whole scenario, this is the key aspect of this whole thing is what is the 1984 value and how do you arrive at that if you do not have readily available, a tax return that would show the value back from 84, an inheritance tax return or so, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if you can't find an appraiser, you're going to have to go through public document type search. And one interesting thing, just to take a little bunny trail here, is I did a little research in the Internal Revenue Code to come up with what happens if you cannot determine the value. What happens if you cannot figure out what the basis is and you have nothing reasonable to go on? And so reading from the code here, this is very interesting. It says, if the facts necessary to determine the basis are unknown, the Secretary of the Treasury shall, if possible, obtain those facts from the taxpayer. Well, obviously, the taxpayer may not have good information. So if the secretary finds that it's impossible to obtain such facts, the basis shall be the fair market value on the date or the approximate date according to the best information that the secretary is able to obtain. So in other words, the IRS is going to come up with the basis for you if you don't. And that may or may not be the best interest to the taxpayer. And they may have public document searches. Who knows where they're going to get their information? That's a kind of an interesting hitch because many times basis is hard to come up with. If you did not take an inventory back in 1984, or are able to get an appraiser to do that for you.
You know, one thought that I had, too, on this little scenario, and I'm kind of getting to the point where I might be running out of time, but I was thinking that she doesn't want to do a 1031 exchange, apparently, which would allow her to defer the gain on the property. And my thought was, you know, the estate planner in me says, well, gee, if she could get by without the money from the sale of the property, and she could, and if she was really interested in the tax aspects of it, she could do a 1031 exchange, and then put her assets in a trust, and then when she died, she could pass it on to her heirs with a stepped up basis or a partial stepped up basis anyway.
Exactly, and escape all the capital gains throughout these years from 84.
So that would then you know, then son or daughter kind of get away like bandits. So,
well, yeah, because if she's even contemplating doing a 1031 exchange, that means that she probably doesn't need the money.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is there might, although there may be, you know, you never know. It might be depending on how big this asset is, that the paying the capital gains might actually be cheaper than paying the estate tax on it.
That's exactly right. Depending on a person's picture, you know, at estate picture, those are all things that have to be considered.
Well, yeah, and one other thing, Kevin, for you with your tax hat on, she's an Oregon resident. This property is in South Dakota. She's required to pay federal capital gains tax on the property. Is she required to pay Oregon capital gains, and does South Dakota have a capital gains?
I did look this up. South Dakota does not have an income tax. So they may have something like Washington has, where the sale of real estate has a transaction fee.
Like a sales tax.
Exactly. And this wouldn't be a sales tax necessarily. It's more of just a fee, which would be like an expense of sale. So you'd pay your federal capital gains, and then Oregon, yes, is going to tax that, and they will take their 9%. So because you're an Oregon resident. Now, if it were South Dakota did have an income tax and both of the states wanted to tax it, one of the states would give you an other state tax credit, so you're not double taxed at the state level. So you do need to, and that is one of his questions here is, you know, where do you need a South Dakota CPA or a tax preparer to do this? And I would say no, this is a simple enough transaction that any competent tax preparer, I would say CPA probably.
Well, the only thing I think is I think this guy and his mom do need to talk to a professional CPA and make sure they totally understand all the ramifications.
I was referring to just over in South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, they could meet with somebody like you here in Portland.
Absolutely.
And really go through this and do a little investigation on it. And find out about, try to get the property values and really understand the numbers, because the numbers are the key.
Oh, I think they do need to talk with somebody who knows the full picture for Oregon, South Dakota, and federal. And they may need a South Dakota attorney to just help facilitate the transaction and, you know, establish that value, which may be difficult to do. I'm sure Carl has thoughts on that, but
well, yeah. I mean, I think that in terms of establishing the value, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a record search, and then if there's no record that is, you know, provides you with much insight, I think then you're really going to have to try to get somebody who can do sort of a historical reconstruction, I guess you might say, to find the value. I think this the one of the questions here is to whether it would be a good idea to have the CPA prepare some sort of pro forma analysis of what he might expect to pay in capital gains. I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
And then compare that maybe with what it would be if you did a 1031 and did a, you know, and then had the stepped up basis and inheritance tax and all that other stuff. I mean, like you said, Chuck, the devil's in the numbers in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the problems right now, depending on how large that farm is and what that farm is used, I believe under the 1031 exchange, Kevin, you have to have a like-for-like property.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. That's, yes, you do. And real property for real property typically works.
So they couldn't take this farmland that, let's say they were leasing it out and it was farmland, they were growing wheat or something, they couldn't take that and transfer that for a commercial building.
I think you can.
You think you can?
I think you can. I would want to look at that for sure, but I think typically real property for real property works.
I think you're right, but it depends, I think.
Yeah.
Say, I've got to run in just a little bit, but I had, believe it or not, just in case we were in a different order, I was going to do Carl's comments very quickly.
Well, let's do
if
it.
If you don't mind. I have six thoughts for young people about estate planning. And one, estate does not necessarily mean a mansion with a square mile of landscape grounds. Two, you should be more concerned about growing your estate than waiting to get your parents. It's their money, not yours. Three, don't count on your parents being able to leave you the estate you want. Four, start planning your estate now by saving at least 10% of your income. Not as easy as it sounds. 5, focus more on what stuff you need than what stuff you want. And 6, invest your time, thoughts, prayers, and concerns in the people you love. Giving lots of stuff doesn't build good character.
I like it. And I got a 7th one, especially for today. Always wish your father a happy Father's Day.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, gentlemen, I'm sorry I have to leave early, but I got to get going to the convention center. So enjoy your weekend and your Father's Days, and I wish you all the best for a good next week.
Great. You too, Carl.
You too.
And
yeah.
Congratulations again to your daughter for her master's degree, and I hope you and Kathy have a great time down there and have a lot of fun.
We will. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Okay, well, you're listening to Investing Simplified. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little more on this land case. And you're listening to Investing Simplified. If you do want to call the show and you want to partake and ask a question, this is an opportunity to get a question answered for free. 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. 7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified here on a beautiful Saturday morning. And Chuck, we've had a lively conversation here regarding some South Dakota farmland that may be sold and all of the tax planning and the legal planning and the, you know, frankly, one of the very first question I would ask, and this is what we were talking about over the break, is, and Carl brought this up, is, boy, oh boy, can you avoid having to recognize those capital gains by holding that property and looking at other ways in your full, you know, financial picture? And this is where I think you really come in, is, you know, sitting down and looking at the full picture and looking for alternatives to, you know, put, you know, because I'm assuming there's a fair amount of capital gains from 84 till now.
Got to be a fair amount of capital
gains.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did go online and looked at, I found some reports with South Dakota State University where they looked at farmland values very specifically from region and type. And what it's done over the last several decades. And interestingly enough, and maybe this is why he's thinking of selling, from 2011 to 2012, South Dakota farmland on average has gone up 26%. 26%.
Wow. I wonder if that has to do with that three-letter word called oil.
I'm kind of wondering about
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's... anyway, something.
Well, I could tell you, and my number one advice to this listener, and we're just going to call him Walt, is Walt. If I were you, I would definitely have your mom, and hopefully your mom is able to, you know, conduct business. We don't know for sure her situation, but I would get your mom in to meet with somebody like Kevin or a CPA and sit down and really do some tax planning right now as to the benefit of that property staying in the estate or the property coming out of the estate. If your mother was considering a 1031 exchange, that tells me right there that she probably doesn't need the money. If she doesn't need the money, we're talking a substantial amount of tax savings for her to wait, pass that land to her children. Now, we also don't know, we know she has a son, you, but we don't know how many other children she has. So that's another big question. I'm going to also assume that the land is maybe not worth more than $5 million, actually $5.5 million because of the new estate tax law. So if it's less than $5.5 million, at least in nationally, she wouldn't have an estate tax. However, Kevin, I'm going to get back to you on the tax now. If that property is worth several million dollars, what is the tax consequences with her passing away, leaving that land to her kids, who, let's say they're all Oregon residents, she's an Oregon resident, is that going to be taxed under Oregon's estate tax law?
Oregon will tax that. They have a proration of property or of inheritance tax based on the amount of Oregon property compared to the amount of total property that the decedent has. And so, I mean, there's a calculation you have to hop through, and definitely having an estate with assets in multiple states requires, at that point, I say an attorney definitely is needed, because you need somebody who needs to look at documents, whether there's probate in, you know, other states. And but like Carl was saying, put this into a trust and get that.
You could avoid the probate costs.
Exactly. Yeah. If you were to put it in LLC inside of a trust, now you do not have property that's outside of another, outside of Oregon. So that's, but that's pretty, you know, complicated planning there, and would need something very specifically looked at, make sure it works.
Yeah, to make sure we answer all the questions that were asked here, and I want to make sure that we kind of go through these.
Yeah.
Number one, about the 1031 exchange, yes, it can be done. Yes, the 1031 can avoid the capital gains, but however, the capital gains carry forward in a 1031 exchange. And so if you later sell the property you exchange for, you still are carrying forward your capital gains. So there's no way to get out of the capital gains treatment except to die.
If she sells before she passes.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep. There's no way out of it. So would capital gains be the difference between the land for 213 and the value in 84? Unfortunately, yes. And like Kevin brought up, the other part of that second question is also depending on if the land was in your mother and father's name jointly, she would get a stepped-up basis on half the property. The other half would go at the original date they purchased the property,
which could be years and years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if your father had inherited that property and then put it in joint name, the same would still be true, except it would go back to the original cost, and half of it would get a stepped-up basis. So, you know, it's very important to find out the particulars on this, and this is why, while I would really suggest that you get together your mom and a CPA like Kevin, somebody just to do some formative study on this for you to get you some accurate numbers, because it is the whole thing of this is the numbers. That's the whole thing. How does she obtain the value of the land? We talked about that again. I think a good CPA and attorney contacting the state, we could find that out fairly easy for you, or at least come up with an estimate of value that maybe would work for the IRS. She'll definitely be hiring a CPA, enrolled agent. Well, hire a CPA to prepare 213 taxes, and she was wondering whether it makes sense to contact a tax professional before. Absolutely. This is the key. I think you got to get a hold of a CPA now and start doing it. You still got 6 months in the year to go, so you've got some time to do some real proper planning.
And she'll, if she were to sell it, she would want to make estimated tax payments to IRS and Oregon in the quarter that she sells it. And so you'd want somebody to calculate those so that you would avoid underpayment penalty.
Yep, absolutely. And that kind of takes care of the next two questions there about doing some kind of a pro forma analysis of what you would have to pay in capital gains. And I would even go as far as say to compare the capital gains to the estate taxes. And that's really the pivotal thing here. What would be better for the family if she doesn't need the money right now? Provide guidance and what documentation she'll need. Well, what she's going to need to get is as much information on that property as she possibly can and on her other assets she has in Oregon so a CPA can come up with an evaluation. The other thing is, can a tax professional provide guidance as to how the value of the land in 84? We discussed that. Tax professional provide pro forma? Absolutely. CPA, well, I would recommend a CPA. I think this is some very, very technical tax planning that you've got to get done, and you don't want to be having to have somebody do research to find out for you to get up to speed about the taxes, the estate taxes and the capital gains. So I would recommend a CPA. How would you find out and go about finding a CPA? Well, Kevin's one. You could also call him. I don't know what part of the town you live in or where you guys live, but I'm sure he could refer you to somebody in your area.
I think that's with most professionals. If you get good word of mouth and good recommendation, that's a good way to go. You can call the Board of Accountancy, or I think they've got a website to find somebody in your area that they could reference, or the Oregon Society of CPAs. Same with an attorney. There's good CPAs, there's bad ones, there's good auto mechanics, there's bad ones, and I really think the word of mouth and stuff is a great way to go.
Yeah, and as far as hiring a tax professional in South Dakota and Oregon, at this point in time, I would say just a good one in Oregon, and save your money because it gets very expensive to hire attorneys and CPAs in other states. It gets very expensive. So hopefully we've answered all the questions there, and we do appreciate Walt doing that. And speaking about that, if you want to go to my website at pfgwm.com, there are various things you can sign up for there, and you can also email me at askchuck@pfgwm.com. And again, I want to thank Walt for a longtime listener to send in these questionnaire, and we're more than happy to do that. If you're too shy to call, or if you can't, like in Walt's case, he's in a situation where he can't call into the show live, we will answer your questions online. You don't have to call to ask the question. So you can email me, and I will be more than happy to pass it on, and Kevin and I and Carl would be more than happy to answer the questions online. I was just going to say,
after being this detailed and stuff, we should say that we still just are giving general advice for Walt's situation here, and that this shouldn't be treated as advice, legal, tax, or otherwise, that he's making decisions based on. It's educational, and to really give the specific advice, we would need to sit down, and so this can't be used to avoid tax penalties or reliance.
And just like we said before on the show, the information we give is general information, and we always recommend that you go and talk to your own professional and get professional advice one-on-one. That is absolutely for sure. And all we can do on the air is give a general evaluation and give you some ideas, and of course encourage you in this case for Walt and his mother. They really need to sit down with somebody who's a competent professional tax person, particularly to find out the tax ramifications. But we're going to take a quick break and come back with Investing Simplified. We do have a couple of lines open, so if you do have a question, give us a call, 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. You're listening to Investing Simplified, and we'll be right back.
Hello. This is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, there's the question of the day. If I had $1 million, we're kind of talking about property, which we don't know the value of the property is. But, Kevin, you had some additional comments to make about Carl's comments.
I did. You know, I just, I loved
No, Carl wasn't here to defend himself.
That's right.
So are we going to beat him up a little bit?
It's a fair game. It's open season.
That's okay.
No, actually, he made some a very good comment that, you know, in his 6 points, estate planning for young people, one of his points was an estate is not a mansion with manicured lawns. And, you know, what he's referring to there is, and this situation we've been going over exemplifies the point I'm going to make is, you know, you may not have the $5 million federal estate. And you don't have to worry about federal inheritance, transfer taxes, and those type of things. You may not have the $1 million Oregon estate limit and don't have to worry about Oregon inheritance taxes. But this situation shows that even if you are under that $1 million, you do have to do some planning. And when somebody passes away, it's just vital to take an inventory of the fair market value of the assets that person has, no matter who they are, because that establishes the basis going forward. And, you know, technically in 1984, somebody should have appraised that farmland. There should have been an appraisal kept in permanent records for the family to go forward, and that would have established the value. And, you know, I don't know what a farm appraisal goes for, but at least a home appraisal goes for $500, and you've established what it is, and there's no, you know, no question going forward. And so, you know, you may be, you know, a young person, or you know, maybe you're looking after your parents or something, but to just know where you stand, know what your values are, and do some planning. And when somebody passes away, just getting some advice, even if it's just a phone call to Chuck or myself or Carl to say, hey, is there anything I need to consider here? You know, they only have a home and $50,000 in the bank account, nothing more than $500,000. Well, you know, there's a few questions to answer there, but other than that, you know, there's a few things to do, but at least we could set you on the right way.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And I, you know, I think it's very important that Carl and I are going to be doing some estate planning seminars coming up here in the near future, and I would highly recommend if you're interested at all in attending an estate planning seminar, there's no cost to you. The only thing is that we do ask, and we will be running some ads this time because we've had a few professionals come and try to learn from our seminar, and so if you're a non-attorney, and you're a non-financial advisor or insurance person that works in this area, the seminars are free. And those other professionals, we will charge accordingly for their time to attend to learn from us. But, you know, it's very important to get your estate in order long before you have to have it enacted upon. That's a hard part for everybody, but we will be doing these seminars. And if you want to attend, you can send a email to me at askchuck@pfgwm.com and tell us the part of the town that you're in, and we'll be sending these seminars up here for the end of summer and the start of fall. We'll really get into estate planning, because the key to estate planning, kind of like key to tax planning, is to get all this done before the end of the tax year.
That's right. So the DeVere Group, which claims to be the largest independent financial advisory organization in the world, asked a sample of their clients from Asia, Africa, Middle East, Europe, and the United States, clients that had investable assets over $1 million, what was their number one financial regret? Now, I highlight financial because this isn't, these aren't principles to guide your whole life by, because we are just talking about money and finances here, not Father's Day. But the number one financial regret that they had, and interestingly, 3-1, more than the second place regret that they had, the number one financial regret that they had was that they did not put a personal financial plan in place earlier in life. 57% of them said that that was their number one regret. In other words, they just kind of wang it. I don't know what the word is there.
Winged it.
There we go.
There we go, yeah.
Man, oh man.
Kind of like a wing nut.
Yeah, I'm the wing nut. Okay, they winged it too early and just didn't put some things in place. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing to look at. Number two was they didn't consistently look at their personal investments and just analyze them. And that's kind of interesting. I'm like, you know, I mean, that's what I pay you for, I guess. But then number three, and this is one that goes, I just can't agree with more, is taking on too much unnecessary debt. So those were their three things. And putting the plan in place, regularly reviewing their investments, and then just avoiding too much debt.
You know, I got to say, because I work with clients in all the spectrum of assets, and of course, we have numerous clients that have a fairly large amount of estate. And one of the things I've noticed in the 40 years I've been doing this, that I can almost tell when I'm sitting down talking to somebody and I'm getting the information from them, the larger the estate and the more investments they have, the more conservative, and I'm not talking about political, I'm talking about with their money, the more assets the guy has or gal has, the more they're concerned about not losing their money. It's really amazing, because you get people who don't have a lot who want to be real risky and take high risk because they want to catch up, and they want to try to play catch up. And investing playing catch up is not a good thing to do. You take way too much risk. But the people who have the assets generally just don't like losing money. And I would really believe part of that is they probably worked hard to earn it, and they reached a point in life that they don't want to go back to not having it. And I think that's a real key factor to investing that people need to really look at, because if you get more risky, yes, you can get the reward. But the riskier you are, the more chance you have of getting a substantial loss. And that's, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to take risk. And then when you ask them, well, if you have $100,000, how would you feel if you woke up tomorrow and it was worth 90? But you might wake up tomorrow and it's worth 110. Could you live with both those scenarios? Now, some people will say yes. And then when you say, well, how about if you woke up tomorrow and that 100 was worth 80, but you had a chance of making 150? Now, would you be happy if you woke? Obviously, if you woke up and the 100 was 150, you'd be real happy. But how would you feel? How would it make your gut feel if your 100,000 all of a sudden tomorrow was worth 80? That's the real question you got to ask yourself. And can you take volatility? You know, if you just look at the markets the way they've been, Kevin, it's been up and down, up and down. In fact, I ran a stock report here about what the market's been doing. It's kind of crazy. And this past week, we've had kind of good gains all year, and this past week it kind of back down a little bit. And we're in a very, very volatile time, and this is a time you've got to be very, very cautious, because like Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to know his limitations. And in investing, you better know your limitations. I want to give, speaking about Clint Eastwood, I happen to see a movie, and I don't even remember the name of it, but it's something about the curveball. I don't know if you've seen it. The gal that's going to be in the new, who's going to be Lois Lane in the new Superman movie, is his daughter in this movie. And it's about a baseball scout. And it's about about him. He's kind of going blind, and he's, you know, he's getting elderly, and his daughter goes along to try to help save his job. And he's a baseball scout. And I'm not going to go into any more detail, but if you got an evening and you want to rent a movie and watch it, this is a great movie about life. And if you take it for the pure entertainment of it, I love baseball, so I like baseball movies. But I think it's one of the better baseball movies made. And I got to say, Justin Timberlake is in the movie, and I am amazed at how well he acts. I thought he did a really good job. I didn't like some parts of it, but overall, I would say if you want to, for this Father's Day, if you want to watch a movie, two great baseball movies, Field of Dreams, if you do have your handkerchief out, and this movie with Clint Eastwood about the curveball, and it's an absolute great movie, and Clint is a real good grouchy old guy in the show. I mean,
I was going to say, baseball on Clint Eastwood, is this all-American film or what?
Well, you know, he didn't hit anybody with the bat.
Oh, okay.
Let's put that.
Okay.
But he was pretty grouchy. So it's a good movie, and I highly recommend watching it if you got the time. And, you know, the only thing is, Kevin, we're competing with this beautiful weather. It is absolutely gorgeous out there, and this is what the Northwest is all about. But we don't want to tell anybody else who doesn't live here, because we don't need any more of them to move here.
That's right.
I think McCall, Governor McCall in Oregon, had that saying that, you know, come visit but don't stay. But and I think he was right, because if people come here this time of the year, they probably would want to live here.
That's right.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back with Investing Simplified and talk a little bit about the stock market, talk a little bit about investing. If you have a question you want to discuss, you can email me at Ask Chuck. You can also go on my website, find a whole lot of information about investing, about estate planning, and also sign up for estate planning seminars. And you can call and ask your question today, 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com. Get your investing and estate planning questions answered now. You can email Chuck at askchuck@pfgwm.com. That's askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And, Kevin, we've been talking about a lot about property transfer, state taxes, and capital gains. And I'm going to kind of switch gears here a little bit and kind of talk about the market and what's kind of happened this past week in the stock market. And I like to give a little tax report my own way, because those of you that listen to CNBC, MSNBC, or Fox Business News, which is the one I usually listen to, but they give a lot of ideas there about the market, tell you about what's going on. They always give a stock report at the end of the day. And since we're only on one day a week, every Saturday, I like to give mine for the end of Friday, so it kind of takes in the whole week. And so the Dow Jones closed at 15,070.18. It was down 105.90 and down 0.70 basis points, almost 1%. Again, I think we're seeing a lot of volatility. Now, one of the things I think is very important is everybody on TV, when you listen to these guys on TV, they want to get ratings. They want you to come there. Well, we like our ratings too. Everybody has ratings that they want to get in our show. We want to have people listening to our show as well. But the reality is, all these guys talk about the market upswing from assuming the day you invested was the day the market crashed. And now you've ridden this back up for 5.5 years. And that's great. And if you've done that, more power to you if you were able to time that. I don't know too many people that were. But the reality is when this market hit that high on 10907, the market right now, totally from the last 5.5 years, is up since 10907 till right now, is up a whopping 6.39%. Now I'm not talking about 6.39 per year. I'm talking about for the 5.5 years. That's a whopping 1.16 per year. And I don't think anybody in their right mind would be happy with that kind of return. I know I wouldn't be. Now, that's on the Dow Jones. On the S&P 500, if you could buy the index, it's up to 1626.73. It was down 9.63, or down about 60 basis points. Now, where do we stand on the S&P when it hit that all-time high on 10907 of 1565.15? Well, in 5.5 years, the S&P is up a whopping 3.93. That's a lot to celebrate on this happy Father's Day.
0.5% per year.
Yeah, actually about 0.715. Pretty good guess. Pretty good guess. Now, here's one thing I think we got to all be looking for. And this, you know, I don't want to say conspiracy, but I'm sitting here looking at a sign for Ground Zero. And I don't know if you ever listened to that show on this. I have listened to it a couple times, but they got a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff. But it's a very interesting show. But oil closed at 97.86, and when we last reported it on 6/1/13, it was 91.61. And, you know, I don't want to say it's a planned thing, but, boy, it seems like to me every dang summer the price of gas goes up and we want to drive and take trips. It seems like to me they kind of stick it to us a little bit, you know. Price of oil goes up, the price of gas goes up. Now, gold closed at 13.90 last week. And back on 6/1/13, it was 13.95. Now, here's the one, Kevin, that I find real interesting, because I heard a whole bunch of people talking about Bernanke. And one of the concerns, I finally have started hearing people say, and we've been talking about it for 4.5 years, we've been on the air, we've been talking about that Bernanke needs to have an exit strategy. You know, I've talked in this show hundreds of times about if you're going to buy individual stock, you should have a buy-in price. And the one thing you absolutely have to do in buying an investment is have a buy-in and a buyout. In other words, an exit strategy. And sometimes that exit strategy, for example, if you buy a stock at $20 a share, you may want to say, hey, look, when it gets to 50, I'm selling. And then you got to have the guts to do it. But more important of all, sometimes that stock tanks and it goes from 20 down to 10. And you better have a time when you say, I'm getting the heck out of Dodge.
Enough's enough.
Yeah, enough's enough. And when it comes to printing, currently about $85 billion a month of money that Bernanke's pumping into this economy, right now we've got the 10-year bond rate. 2 weeks ago, the 10-year bond rate was 2.164. Guess what it was Friday? It actually was 2.126.
Went down a little.
It actually came down a little. And I got to tell you, that We got some major problems on the horizon, and I listened to Bernanke talking about he's kind of tied it to the 6.5% unemployment, and I'm a little concerned because I keep hearing every month they do the unemployment numbers, they come back the next month and they re-advise them, and the unemployment rate's higher than it was when they reported it. So I don't know, you know, what kind of game they're playing, and who knows when it comes to politics. But the reality is, if we don't get people working, we're not going to turn the economy around.
Yeah. I had a chance to visit with a regional director of a large mortgage company couple days ago, and was asking him what his thoughts were. And usually they're all, you know, pumping the real estate market and stuff. And he said, yeah, the fundamentals are, you know, fairly decent and all. But the one thing that bothered him was how fast the real estate market has kind of bounced back. That there's it's almost kind of taken too much of a bounce, maybe a little too aggressive, which is interesting. Now, he's looking at the national level and stuff, so I don't know how that was particularly for Portland, but interesting insight there. So
yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it on the show before, and we've had Norm Rice, mortgage broker, or real estate broker, actually, on the show. And actually, Norm, we're going to have Norm back again and have him talk about the real estate market. But I know Norm helped a client of mine who had to go into an assisted living. He's in the process of helping her sell her house. And those are important things to have done. But, you know, I got to tell you, well, hey, Kevin, how does somebody get a hold of you?
All right. Well, on this Father's Day weekend, come Monday, give us a call at 503-666-5569. That's Baker and Colson, and we're located at 2414 Northeast Division and BakerColson.com.
And for Carl Jepson, you can go to the Warren Allen Law Firm on the web, and you can see Carl's information there and contact him at his office. And for me, you can reach me at PFGWM.com or 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. That's 877-50-PRICE, and I'm conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, in the Price Financial Group building on Mall 205 area. So we thank you very much for listening to our show. Again, all you fathers out there, hope you have a very happy Father's Day and enjoy your weekend. It looks like it's going to be nice. I'm going to try to go swing the clubs tomorrow and celebrate my Father's Day and celebrate it today with the kids. Kevin, I know you are with your dad today.
That's right. Happy Father's Day. Thanks for listening.
Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified.